just help my words to be what you want them to be tonight. Help them to be words that encourage and strengthen our congregation here tonight. And Lord, I just thank you that we can be here together and that we can worship you. And Lord, I pray for the meeting afterwards. I pray that you would just help us as a church to make good decisions on how we administer your church. So I thank you for all that you will do tonight. And Lord, just speak through me tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I want to start tonight with verse that Pastor ended our sermon with this morning in James chapter 1. Verse 2 says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." This morning we saw some people stand up in front of us that have had some pretty big struggles in their life. And Pastor talked about the struggle at the end there. And, you know, every one of us has things that we go through in life. My wife and I made some pretty big decisions 3 years ago to make some major changes in our work. I had been in telecom for 31 years. And I was a contractor. My wife worked at the same company that I was at. And we both decided it was time to leave. And we did that because we felt that the environment just wasn't the environment we needed to be in anymore. And that was a pretty big step because financially we were doing pretty well. And we decided to start a business. We started a concession trailer. And if you think about the timing of when I'm talking about, I don't know that it was the best timing, but it was God's timing. We left I told my former partner and at that time boss, in November. We left at the end of January, and COVID hit somewhere around March, I think it was. I think it hit a lot sooner than that, but that was when it came out that there was an issue. And that was good and bad. It was good because there were a few companies that were looking for food trailers. It was bad because everything that anybody that runs a food trailer relied on was pretty much shut down. So everybody that had a trailer was out looking for a spot. It was a challenging time. And I knew that going into it that it was not going to be easy. I knew that we would have some difficult times. But I have to say, I didn't think it would be as challenging as it was. We've spent the last three summers going up and down the road with that trailer. And we tried to make decisions based on what we felt God would have us do. There are some places that offered us to set up that I just didn't feel comfortable with. And sometimes you have to give up the possibility of some really good profits to stay true to what you believe. And that's what we did. Seemed like every time that we thought we had things figured out and things were starting to go a little bit good, then things started going bad again. Trailer would have issues. I went through a lot of tires, I just don't understand how I could go through that many. But there were a lot of ups and downs in our business over the last 3 years. And on top of that, there were some personal things that have occurred over the last few years. I would venture to say that I'm not alone in that. You know, as I look out here, I'm sure that many of you have went through some struggles yourself. COVID in itself caused a lot of struggles for people because when you tell people to stay home and stay away from everybody and don't go anywhere, it's not good for us to be alone. It's not good for us to be isolated. So there's been a lot of stuff in the last couple years. Been many times I was really kind of wondering where God was taking us. And I also, throughout those 3 years, I've been working at Lowe's to supplement things. I don't know, there's something about my desire to eat. I can't eat all of the profits in the food trailer, okay? And I was trying really hard. But I was working at Lowe's. My wife's been working as an accountant over at Sharky's. And I have been working part-time at Lowe's. But part-time at Lowe's and full-time in a trailer equates to about 80, 90, sometimes more hours a week. And that's tough. It gets to be very difficult and challenging. Recently, we decided to make some changes, and we're kind of flip-flopping that now, and it'll be part-time in the trailer and full-time at Lowe's. And the reason I tell you that is since I started full-time at Lowe's, my schedule has kind of settled down a little bit. I'm now in a Monday through Friday, 9 to 6, and I've probably spent more time studying God's Word in the last 2 weeks than I have in quite some time. Although I've been going to men's Bible study and things, my personal time at home has been lacking. And that's, you know, I think Satan does that to keep us busy so that we don't have that time to stay in God's Word. So this past week, I've been studying in Genesis. If you turn to chapter 37, and, you know, I think Joseph's life, when we're talking about those ups and downs in our lives, Joseph had some ups and downs in his life. And I just want to kind of walk down through that and then talk a little bit about what that means to you and me. So starting in verse 1. Try to get my bifocals to work right here. Now Jacob lived in the land where his father had sojourned, in the land of Canaan. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his sons because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a varicolored tunic. Your Bible may say a coat of many colors. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. When Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect, and behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf." Then his brother said to him, "Are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and his words. So, first thing that we need to look at is the fact that Joseph had, there was 12 of the brothers. There was Joseph and 11 other brothers. And as I did a little more reading, those 12 men came from four different women. There were two wives and there were two concubines, handmaidens. And, you know, when you stop and think about that and put that into the context of our lives today, it'd be like a blended family. Somebody who is living in a household with half-brothers or step-brothers sometimes isn't a real comfortable thing. Sometimes the atmosphere there in the family can be difficult. And that was the case here. You had 11 men who hated this young Joseph. His father loved him more than he loved the rest of them. And, you know, that in itself, the favoritism that was going on there would have caused a lot of strife amongst those brothers. And then whenever he told him about the dream that he had, I don't think Joseph chose to have this dream. You know, this is something that he has, and the brothers hate him even more. It just fuels the fire even more. If we jump down to verse 12, it says, Then his brothers went to pasture their father's flock in Shechem. Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send you to them." And he said to them, "I will go." Then he said to him, "Go now and see about the welfare of your brothers and the welfare of the flock, and bring word back to me." So he sent them from the valley. He sent him from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. A man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field, and the man asked, "What are you looking for?" He said, "I'm looking for my brothers. Please tell me where they are pasturing the flock." Then the man said, "They have moved from here, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. When they saw him from a distance, and before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. So now we see that Joseph is doing what his father's ask. His father says, "I need you to go check on your brothers. I need you to be the one to go out, check on how they're doing, make sure everything's okay." And he gets out there, and his brothers see an opportunity. His brothers see an opportunity to take Joseph out. And that hatred that's been fueled for so long, now they see a way to take care of the situation. And they took advantage of the situation. They planned to kill him. As they were in the fields and they're away from their father so that dad won't know what happened. Dad won't be upset with them because he won't have any idea that they were the ones that plotted against him. If we read in chapter 42, and I'm just going to jump ahead for one verse just to get a little bit of context. Chapter 42, verse 21, and this is after Joseph has been in Egypt for a period of time, and now his brothers are coming there because they need food. There's a famine going on. And afterwards, verse 21 says, they said to one another, truly, we are guilty concerning our brother because we saw the distress of his soul when he pleaded with us, yet we would not listen to him. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. So if we put that into context back into chapter 37, Joseph is terrified. You know, he's made his way to check on his brothers. He finds them, and they throw him into a pit, and they've plotted to kill him. There's one brother that's Reuben, who's trying to keep that from happening, keep him from being killed. But Joseph is terrified. So he goes from being this son who is the beloved son to the son who is now hated so much by his brothers, and they're ready to kill him. The only thing that saves him is Reuben. They throw him into a pit, and then they go off to eat dinner. As he's in the pit, they're off eating dinner. Then they decided that rather than killing him, you know what? It's not going to benefit, or it's not going to profit us, I believe, is what my Bible says. So let's sell him. Let's sell him off into slavery. They see this band of people coming through, headed toward Egypt, and they decide that they can get rid of him. They don't have to put up with him anymore. So they solve that problem. And they get to make a little bit of money at the same time. Now, I don't know what 20 shekels is, but apparently 20 shekels was enough to suffice, because that's what they got for him. And they send him off into Egypt. 17 years old. Now, I know that 17 years old back then was a lot different than 17 today, but he's still a young man. He's still a young man who is probably a little nervous about where he's headed to right now. I watched a young man stand up here this morning who spent some time in jail. That young man was terrified standing up here this morning. And I can just picture Joseph being in that same mental state at that point. He's wondering, God, where are you taking me? What are you doing in my life? Now, all the reading I did, I don't think there's one time that I see where Joseph said anything, you know, where he's doubting his God. But I can't imagine from verse 21 of chapter 42, he was distressed and he pleaded with his brothers. He's got to be scared. He's got to be terrified. So he goes from living a pretty comfortable life to being sold into slavery. Chapter 39, verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over his house and all that he owned, he put in his charge. It came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus, the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned, in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. And with him, there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. So Joseph finds favor in Potiphar's house, and he's placed in charge of everything. So talking about that roller coaster ride in life, Joseph is being taken by the Ishmaelites, and he has no idea what's going to happen whenever he gets to Egypt. But he's probably thinking life is probably not going to be very good. He gets into Potiphar's house, and God blesses him. God takes care of him. And he's given pretty much everything he wants. He's in charge of the entire house. So now he's back in that comfortable state, kind of like he was at home with his dad. Verse 11. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. She caught him, being Potiphar's wife, by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew to us to make sport of us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I screamed. When he heard that I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside." So she left his garment beside her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with these words, "The Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came in to make sport of me. And as I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." Now when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, "This is what your slave did to me," his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him in jail. Now we're back down again. You know, Joseph, many times in the verses previous to that, she is approaching him and she's wanting to have this relationship with Joseph, and Joseph is like, "No, I can't do that." And he keeps pulling back away, avoiding the situation, and now he has to literally flee from the house to make sure he doesn't sin against his God. Now he ends up in prison because of it. The up and down life that Joseph is living here has got to be concerning to him, because he's going to spend several years in jail after this. It doesn't tell us how many years he was in Potiphar's house. You know, when I read down through the account there, it seems as if he's taken into Potiphar's house, he's blessed, and next thing you know, she's trying to have an affair with him, and now he's in prison. I don't know how long that took. I don't know if that was a month. I don't know if that was a year. I don't know. There's 13 years that transpire between when Joseph was taken as a slave to the time that Joseph is given authority from Pharaoh. So somewhere in that 13 years, he spends a significant amount of time in prison. He was once again blessed as he went in. The chief jailer found favor, and he's put in charge of things there. So his life in prison may not have been as bad as it could have been, but the fact that he is confined and he is not free to live his life, that in itself is a struggle. After interpreting Pharaoh's dreams, he's placed in charge of all of Egypt. Genesis 41, verse 39. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has informed you of all this, There is no one on so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all of my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all of the land of Egypt. So he is eventually placed over everything in Egypt, and there's a famine that's getting ready to come, and Joseph has told Pharaoh that, look, you need to set aside everything that you can for 7 years because there's going to be a seven-year famine. And Pharaoh says, you're the guy. Take care of it. Make it happen. Joseph was now 30 years old at this time, as we already said, and he's been kind of in a comfort zone 1 minute and in struggles the next minute. And I got to tell you, for 3 years now, I've had those ups and downs. I've had those moments where I'm looking at this event and saying, boy, this was really great. We did so good. And I'm headed to the next one, and I find out that it's horrible. And when you're relying on that for your income, that's a struggle. When you get the phone calls and people in your family are struggling, it's a struggle. Many of you have gotten phone calls like that where maybe it's about health. Maybe it's about grandchildren. Maybe it's whatever it is. You find yourself struggling with the things that God's allowing in your life. And I can't imagine that Joseph didn't struggle like that. This young man standing up here this morning, you know, he's a pretty new Christian. He's seen some struggles in his life. And how we respond to those struggles depends on where we end up. I think I've told you guys before, one of the mission trips I went on with our youth, we went to a homeless shelter in Newcastle. And I listened to a man tell me about his life. And everything he told me was everything that I had already lived. He's telling me how his dad had passed away, and this happened, and this happened. And I'm thinking, okay, you're talking about me. Until he got to the point of, and then I found myself in my pickup truck, living in my pickup truck. And then I found myself doing more drugs, and I found myself drinking, and I found myself homeless. And next thing you know, he was in a homeless shelter in Newcastle. The only difference between me and him was a choice that we made. He went through those same struggles and ups and downs, but he chose to turn to the alcohol and turn to the drugs, and it put him in a position where he ended up being homeless. Every one of us is one choice away from being someplace that we don't want to be. Chapter 50. Start in verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him? So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father charged before he died, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of God, of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result." Joseph saw that God placed him someplace because there was going to be a need for him to be there. God needed to put his servant in a place where he could save many people's lives, because he had the discernment and the wisdom to say, we need to put aside a portion of everything that we have so that when the famine comes, there's enough there to get through. Otherwise, a lot of people were going to die. And he has enough wisdom from God to make sure that that doesn't happen to these people. And he saw that that was God's plan. God had a plan for him. And all of the things that led up to him being there had to occur in order to get Joseph where God wanted him. And there was purpose. There was purpose for Joseph's life. 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul recalls all the persecution that he had gone through. And there's a whole list of things that he talks about, how he was beaten and how he was imprisoned and all the things that happened in his life. But then he turns around in Philippians and he says, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel." So the Apostle Paul recognizes that, yeah, I've gone through some things. I've been beaten and I've not had the life that I may have wanted. But you know what? God had a purpose because he needed to use Paul in order to further the gospel. There was purpose in his life. Now, the question that I have for you is, what is the purpose for what you're going through tonight? The things that we struggle with, the things that we're going through, what is the purpose that God has? What's God doing through that situation in your life? What's he doing in your heart and in your life? And the bigger question is, are we seeking those answers? Because God does have a purpose for everything that we're going through. And I tell myself that on a regular basis because I need to be reminded. I go to men's Bible study every Thursday night, and I gather with some really great guys. A couple of them are sitting here tonight. And I can tell you one of the biggest reasons that I go is because I need to be reminded on a regular basis of what God is doing in my life. I need to be reminded that God has purpose in all of the things that I'm going through. I don't go there to teach. I go there to be a part of the Bible study because that's what I need. And God has a plan. God has a purpose for everything that we're going through. But we got to be seeking out what he's doing, because if what he is doing in our life, if we don't seek out to find out what it is and why he's doing these things, and some things we will never know. Some things we are just not going to know why God allowed us to go through some things. But I think that there are some things that God takes us through that he wants us to realize that he wants to change our heart. He wants to do something in our life. And if we're not seeking that out, then what's the point in going through it? What is the point? It's vain at that point. Solomon says all is vanity. Well, that would be vanity right there if we just go through life and never try to find out what it is that God is trying to do in our hearts. So I encourage you tonight that no matter how difficult things are, no matter what it is that you might be going through, he does have a plan. And I don't know about your Bible study time. I know I needed to get back into my Bible in order to realize that there is a plan. Now, honestly, I still don't know what that plan is. But I do know that he wanted to change my heart. And if that's all that he needed to do, then that was more than enough. The rest of the things that God is going to do in our life and in our family, he will take care of those things, no matter how difficult they might be. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time together tonight. I thank you for everybody who is here tonight. And I just pray that as we leave here tonight, that you might just encourage us and strengthen us and help us to understand what it is that you are doing in our lives. Help us to just trust you. And Lord, I think so many times that's really what it comes down to, is do I trust you enough regardless of what I'm going through? Lord, just help us. Help us to be students of your word. Help us to be teachable. And help us just to desire you. And Lord, I thank you for all that you will do. I thank you for the meeting that we will have here later after this service. And I just pray that you help us to make good decisions as we meet together. And Lord, we just ask all of these things in your name. Amen. All right.